Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today is an exciting day. After a year and a half, we are finally getting back into something resembling a little more of normal, since today we're starting Sunday school and Bible class after worship, and we're going to start LifeLight, and there's also a survey that you should have received at the door for any other Bible classes that we might start over this coming year. But unfortunately, thanks to the pandemic, we've had to put so much on hold to the point that not doing it has become as much of a habit now as doing it was a habit before. But hopefully, as time progresses, more and more people will feel comfortable returning, not just to regular worship, but also to Sunday school and to Bible class. After all, if the tigers and lions can play, then we can gather for study and for prayer. So as we turn our attention to Christian education, I want to take our Old Testament reading for today from Isaiah chapter 50, and use that as an opportunity to talk about why it is so important to our faith for us to hear and learn God's word. Now, in reading our text from Isaiah, I'm struck by the progression in the first couple of verses from hearing to speaking. The Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. Morning by morning he awakens. He awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. This idea of dialogue, of hearing and speaking, is actually where our method of catechesis or confirmation, this question and answer, that's where it comes from. If you look in Luther's Small Catechism, the entire thing is question and answer. What is the first commandment? What does this mean? What is the second commandment? What does this mean? This progression is from the learner asking and the teacher answering, turned around to the teacher asking and the learner answering. In the first case, the questions come from a place of not knowing and curiosity. I want to learn what this means. But then it turns and flips on its head to the teacher asking in order for the learner to show how much they have learned. Verses 4 and 5 in our reading put the focus on the ear. God opens our ears to hear his message. God opens Isaiah's ear to listen to him, and Isaiah responds. The servant in our reading today, he listens to it, and he hears and answers God's word. And hearing God's word is absolutely important. In Luke chapter 11, Jesus says, "Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." God gives us his word to be read so that we can hear it, and he has given us the ears to hear. Now, in speaking of his parables, Jesus also tells the disciples, "Blessed are your ears, for they hear." There is something about hearing God's word that is so much more impactful, or so much more than just reading. There is something about hearing God's word that makes it a little more real. In fact, for the first several centuries of the church, the way that people learned the scripture was by hearing it read aloud. In worship on Sundays, Bibles were so uncommon in the days before the printing press that the only way to learn it, for the most part, was to hear it read aloud. And it was, even in reading, it was most common to read aloud, even if you are reading to yourself. It's the difference between reading a book and listening to it as an audiobook. The spoken word adds something to the written word. That when you hear something, what is it that they say when you are writing something? It's fine to write, it's fine to read, but if you read it out loud, you hear the problems. Hearing gets us into the importance of studying God's word, because studying God's word is valuable as a way for us to grow in the faith. When we are weary, it is God's word that sustains us. When we wake up, it is important for us to wake up with God, with God's word. When we face opposition, when we face persecution, what a blessing it is to have God's word in your heart to sustain you and strengthen you in the face of trouble and difficulty. Studying together or growing in faith together, it is an enormous blessing, but having the ears to listen to God's word isn't the end. We also have been given the tongue to speak. Now, in our epistle reading, James warns that not everyone is called to be a teacher. And in the context, he is primarily speaking of pastors and of the pastoral office, that not everyone is called to be doing what I'm doing right now. But the point can go much further beyond that. Teachers are accountable for their message and for what they teach. If I teach wrong facts, I can't know what kind of an effect that will have. As just one example, this was six, seven years ago when I was just a young pastor, or on vicarage even. I had taught that the middle chapter of the Bible is Psalm 118, sandwiched right between Psalm 117, the shortest chapter, and 119, the longest chapter. That makes so much sense. Until you actually count. The middle chapter of the Bible is actually Psalm 117. Now, that isn't a major mistake, but imagine if it were something so much worse. Teachers are accountable for what they teach. And so those who do teach, Sunday school teachers, Lutheran day school teachers, and others, have an important role to play in teaching and raising these children. Teachers model God's word for their students more than anyone other than parents do. Teachers show God's forgiveness in church, in classroom discipline. Teachers speak God's word to their students. We should be thankful for those who will teach Sunday school this year and those who will help. And we should pray that God will raise up more teachers and aides to serve the youngest in our congregation. Not everyone is called to be a teacher, but everyone is called to use their tongue to speak God's word to those who need to hear it. You also have learned God's message of love and forgiveness. You also have been given a tongue to speak. You have people around you who need to hear this message. Maybe it is a child of yours who grew up in the church but drifted away. Maybe it is a coworker who is going through a really difficult time. Maybe it's just a neighbor who wants to know where you're always going on Tuesday evenings when you're coming for Lifelight. Whatever the case, you have a tongue and you have the message of God's love and forgiveness to share. And God does give you the opportunities in which to share it. Now, it's not enough for us to just hear God's word and to speak God's word. We also have been given the heart to trust God's word and live God's word. Now, this is where some people can get a little thrown off when Isaiah is speaking and he says, who among you fears the Lord and obeys the voice of his servant? What does it mean? The good Lutheran question, what does this mean? When we say fear the Lord, to fear the Lord and to obey his voice. Well, to fear doesn't mean to be trembling and cowering in the corner. In this context, it means to respect. That's the basic catechism answer. To fear God means to respect him. We do not fear God because he is scary any more than a child should fear his father for that reason. Instead, we fear God because he is so much greater than us and everything we have has come from him. And so because of this, we are to obey his law. Think of a healthy awe, reverence, and respect. And this is how we are to fear the Lord. Because we respect God and we recognize him as being so much greater and more powerful than us, that is why we will not allow his word to go to waste. It's very easy to just listen to his word or listen to what someone is saying and then leave without really considering the words and their implications. It's very easy to read about some great and horrible act without wanting to actually do something about it. It is tempting to just let the words flow right over you, in one ear and out the other. But as Isaiah says a couple chapters after our reading, that is not the way that God's word operates. Isaiah writes, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. So why is it that we fear God's word and we obey God? Is it the fear of punishment? God does threaten punishment against those who disobey him. According to the law, we can only be justified by perfect obedience, but that's impossible for us as we live sinful and broken human beings beset by a sinful human nature which does not want to fear God or to obey his commandments. And yet, the gospel promises us salvation because of what God has already done for us. According to the gospel, yes, we cannot obey God's word perfectly, but Jesus' perfect obedience is counted for us. So we do not obey out of threat. We obey because God has worked in our hearts to love him and to want to follow his will. As just one example, at a certain point when I was growing up, I think I was in high school at that point, I realized that my parents weren't and couldn't force me to go to Sunday school or Bible class or worship anymore. However, I still continued to attend, not because I had to or because they would be disappointed in me if I didn't, but because I loved my parents and I wanted to make them happy and I wanted to do what God willed or what God intended. So ultimately, the reason we listen to God's word, the reason that we study God's word, the reason that we learn God's word is found in verse 10, where it says, "Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the voice of his servant? Let him who walks in darkness and has no light trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God." Without God's word, apart from Jesus Christ, we are in darkness. But Jesus, the light of the world that no darkness can overcome, shines into us through his word. It is his word that we read and study. It is his message that we share. And it is him that we trust and rely on. After all, to whom shall we go? He has the words of eternal life. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, unto life everlasting. Amen.